Hello and welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com and by BlogTalkRadio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
And we're recording from the BYU Sports Cave tonight. Appreciate Brian offering up his services to us tonight to allow us to record in the absence of a sick Devin. Devin, we miss you. Devin, I hope you listen to this show, and I hope you understand that we miss you tonight. Any additional thoughts
I'm
on
sure
that, John? You're chuckling, so, you know.
Well, it was just so moving. I don't know. I think Devin's containing himself right now.
Oh, the sarcasm is so deep here, it's ridiculous. No, Devin, we really do miss you and hope you get well. Next week, we should have him back, and we've got a packed show for next week. But in the meantime, we've got a great show ahead of us tonight. Want to introduce a guest here in a minute. What I want to do, though, is recall everybody's attention back to a few weeks back when we talked about the NBA 2K17 game as it came out and offered up projections of all the players in the NBA. John, I don't know if I can revisit what the projections were for the Jazz players, but I think there was a few of them that were up in the higher 80s or above, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, there were.
And I believe that night we asked for feedback on how they rank the players in NBA 2K17, because I'm not a gamer. John, you're not a gamer, or at least you probably don't spend a lot of time gaming. Am I right? John?
Oh, was that to me? Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we're starting off well here. But since we're not gamers much, we thought, well, let's reach out to our listeners. Let's get some feedback on the 2K17 rankings and whatnot. And lo and behold, we have a guest on tonight, Tyler. Tyler, who listens to us regularly and is a gamer. And he's going to give us some thoughts on the 2K17. And what's more, you know, what's even funnier is a piece dropped on Dime Mag a couple days ago. Help me refresh my memory here, John, because I'm really losing my train of thought.
It was Uproxx, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's Dime Mag at Uproxx.
Oh, yeah, they're the same thing.
Yeah, they're the same thing.
Yeah, they did a simulation of the season with all their player rankings, and they wound up having the Jazz come in last place at 24 and 58.
Yeah. In fact, it was such a worst-case scenario. It was Quinn Snyder was fired. It was everybody was just – it was pretty crazy. So some guy had simulated the Jazz season, and, well, Jazz fans, we're in the depths of sorrow now at the end of the season. So so we started thinking, man, is any of this worth it? So, Tyler, you're on. Let's talk about this 2K17 bit stuff. How long have you been playing NBA 2K?
Probably since about 2012.
Okay.
NBA 2K13 came out.
All right, so for about 4 or 5 years, 6 years now.
Yeah, about when I became an avid Jazz fan is when I started playing it. When I started really paying attention to Jazz as a young person.
All right, so first of all, let's get a little background. How long you've been a Jazz fan then for about that long, you say?
Well, no, I've been a Jazz fan my whole life, but I really started watching it right about when our rebuild started, which is kind of interesting.
So right around that time that the Jazz went to the playoffs and lost 4 straight to the San Antonio Spurs, right?
Yeah, that's when I started really watching, like, every game. But, you know, like, I watched the 2007 playoffs and things like that. I wasn't a huge fan like I am now.
Gotcha.
And I became a
are you an avid gamer? Do you play a lot of video games?
I used to. Adulthood has kind of brought me away from that, but this is pretty much the only game I play now, and it's just because I enjoy it. It keeps me involved with the basketball world and things.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so tell me, you said you could drop some insight on this. Tell me how these rankings work out in 2K17.
Well, the player rankings work as it's a combination of everything, of all their attributes, of everything they do. So, you know, you'll have players, and it's just, they take an average, so they score you on everything that you do. They score you on your ball handling, score, different types of scoring, how you play your defense, and things like that. and how often you shoot, and they take an average of all ratings, and that's your rating.
Okay, and in the game, don't they rank going upwards? So we see in normal rankings, you see like going down top 10 and things like that, but the better players are ranked higher as far as numbers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Am I hearing a dog whimper in the background?
Which
sorry, guys.
Which one of you is not feeding their puppy?
Yeah, sorry. Someone came in the house and my dog's freaking out. But she's over there in the cage. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm like, John.
She sounded like she was getting closer and hitting you with a water dish. Pay attention to me.
No, she's just. Yeah, someone came in the house upstairs, and so she's freaking out.
But. Not to worry, Tyler. We've had worse sounds come out on this podcast. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so. Okay, so they accumulate everybody's. So, do they base it off of last year's stats, or are these projected stats for this year?
I think it's a combination of both, because last year it's updated about every week. I think, or maybe it's every 2 weeks. Last year, the season at the end of the season, Derek Favors ranked at 86 and Hayward ranked at 85, and now they're both one spot lower. They're one number lower. And like Rudy Gobert was an 82, and now he's an 81. So I think it's a projection and your last year's stats, and it's they look at your overall skill, and it's really an opinion of many people, and they take their averages together and it's not entirely statistical.
Okay, so
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, so as a gamer in the game, are you responsible for creating a team and ultimately drafting these players or putting together these players, whether it be through free agency or whatnot, or are they already on the Jazz team and this is how it is?
Well, it depends on what you play. You can create your own player. The thing I do a lot is I play as a general manager, and I try to figure out how to make this. I normally play the Jazz. I try to figure out how to make this team better and go through that, and I can draft new players. But when you play, you get the roster where it's at. You get it where it's at, and you kind of just do what you can to change it and make it better. So you get it as is. You get it. It's exactly how it is now. You don't, including injuries too. Like when you start any players that are injured, the players will be injured. And things like that.
John, do you have questions on this? I'm about to jump into this about this prediction this guy did the other day, but do you have thoughts on any of this?
Well, My understanding is they do this every year, and as far as predicting the season, and there's always some weird anomalies. So what is it you think, what is the weakness you see in the way they do their predictions that makes it go like that?
I'm having a hard time figuring out why every year the Jazz are always super bad, no matter what, except for when, you know, during back in the Darren Williams days, you know, the Jazz were really good. It seems that I'm having a hard time finding the weakness. I think it's within tendencies within the players. I think that because the Jazz are a less prominent team, they're not in the media a lot, they don't focus as much on it and get the players exactly right. I think they focus on getting the other teams more exactly right. And so they run into problems with, there's tendencies, so they will rank, there's like numbers on percentages of times players will shoot or pass and things like that. And I think sometimes with things like the Jazz, they don't go into as much detail as they should on things like that. And it creates conflict within the team in the game, and it creates a chaos within the game. And that's why the Jazz is so bad.
Sounds like they need Kevin Pelton to help consult.
I agree. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Jazz just aren't a flashy team, so they're just not going to hit these gamers. I mean, who were the best players ranked in the 2K17 game this year? What did we say? Steph Curry was near the top, right? Well, he wasn't number one, though, was he?
LeBron is the best one at 96, and I believe Steph Curry was second. At 90, I'm looking at him. He is 94. So LeBron is, you know, 2 overall points better than Steph Curry.
So really, if I'm understanding all of these rankings right, and this is fun. I mean, this is the first year, I think. Did we go over NBA 2K rankings last year, John? I don't remember if we even discussed them last year.
We didn't do. Yeah. We haven't done 2K rankings.
So this was our first year doing it. It was interesting to read it, but if I understand anything, the game itself, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right, Tyler, but the game itself, it really, it's ranking players individually, and you're really not getting teams as a whole and how those players rank. Because I think when you get into like player rankings overall otherwise, I think it's their contribution to a respective team, perhaps, or their projected like let's get into, we didn't get ESPN ranked this year. I still don't understand why. But we did get SI's top 100, and for example, George Hill made a huge jump, but I think part of that jump had to do with opinions on where he's at on what team this year compared to where he was at last year to start the season. So I wonder if the NBA 2K game is based solely on individual players' abilities within the game and not what they can contribute to the team as a whole. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Kind of. It's more of a – that's somewhat right. I think it's just more how that player plays and they – take an average, like they take things they're good at and things they're bad at and link them. And then I think it does have to do with team play because there are tendencies involved. Like it will, all the players, they do mesh together within the game because they have to play together. And so it'll talk about like Gordon Hayward will drive to the basket a certain amount of times rather than passing it and things like that. And so it does come together as a team, but the individual players are ranked in it. The teams do how they do based on how all the individual players are ranked. So, yeah, that is pretty much right.
Okay. Well, it's just, it's wild. The whole thing is wild to me. And like yeah. We said earlier this week, John, like you said when you pointed out this Dimag article, it was like, well, gee, that just throws all those ranking out the door. Some guy comes in and says they're the worst team in the league. It's like, well, then why did you have the rankings to begin with?
I don't understand why it's... The thing I can't understand is how they're the worst in the West, because some of our players have very high rankings and are rated way higher than players on other teams. And so the team's overall ranking is based on an average of all the players. And our overall rankings are way higher than other teams. And so I can't figure out why they did that. All the simulations I've ran, I've tried making changes on the team. And it seems to me that the game really doesn't like Boris Dio on the Jets. Every time I've taken Boris Dio off the Jazz, the team has done way better within the game. I don't know what that has to do.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But, well, you know, obviously it doesn't. I don't think that's going to translate in real life.
No. No, that's probably not. Well, that that gives us some insight into the game. Like I said, I'm not a gamer, so this doesn't sit. It doesn't matter to me in the end. I've tried to play the NBA 2K games before, and it was fun, but I lost interest pretty quickly. It's just not for me. So, Tyler, appreciate your thoughts on it. That was very insightful. So, but no, thanks a lot. That helps kind of put together our, you know, the rankings and kind of puts it all in perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
So, all right. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
We're gonna say goodnight to Tyler, and then on the other side, we'll continue on with tonight's topics.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tyler. All right, John. Let's continue on with the rest of our topics this week. We wanted to talk our predictions for Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, all that. We're gonna save it till next week when Devin's back. But tonight we wanted to talk a little preseason action. Jazz just finished off, as we speak right now, are just finishing off game number four in the preseason. What are your thoughts so far?
Overall, it's been encouraging as far as the guys that are playing and what they're doing. Rudy Gobert is getting hacked a lot. And so he's shot a lot of free throws this preseason so far, and he has delivered so far. Like right now, he has 17 points on 6 field goal attempts because he has also shot 15 free throws. So, you know, stuff like that's cool to see. George Hill seems very comfortable in this offense. Dante's coming along slowly but nicely. He had 18 points tonight. a lot of guys injured.
Yeah, there's.
I think that's the hesitation with preseason is how many injuries the Jazz seem to have right now.
And the Jazz cut back one game in preseason this year. We're not playing seven. We're down to six. But it's like, I mean, already 4 games into it, and you got Hayward hurt. Granted, Hayward hurt himself in practice. Practice. We talking about practice. Enter an Allen Iverson comment in here. Whatever. Get. John's really thrilled with that one. But it's like, who's going to go down next? And I don't want to say that. I mean, knock on wood, because I don't want
that
to happen.
Oh, don't put it like that.
I know.
Oh, man.
We don't want
it's
anybody
like we're
to...
in the middle of a serial killer movie.
I know.
Who's next? No. They're all going to heal and they'll all be fine.
Yes, they will. Hey, I could be Spence Chegets. On the radio the other day, he was totally... On Friday, that man is horrible about jinxing people, because then on Friday he's like, "Well, when's Gordon Hayward going to get in a car accident?" It's like, "Shut up, Spence! Please don't jinx him." But you know,
he jinxes everything. He's like, "Harperin gets a fine haircut tonight." You're like, "Oh, he's going to look silly."
No, right? No, but back to preseason. I mean, I feel bad that we're losing players, but I hope, you know. In the grand scheme of things, it's nice to have the rest of them, the younger guys like Lyles, Exum, get more time, get more opportunity to kind of get back up to game speed and get ready for the season to start. And I'm like you. I've been watching Rudy Gobert. Holy crap. What's his percentage in free throws in the preseason alone? I know one of the games he was, 13 or 14 out of 15, something like that. Tonight he had another good night.
He's 11 out of 15 tonight. So he's been... quality percentage. It's probably 80. I have no idea. It's probably like 80% for the season, for the preseason. It has been one of the main focuses in his off season, and that just opens everything else up. If they know that they don't have to take Rudy out for offensive possessions, because he'll just get hacked. Well, he can make those free throws. He's showing he can make those free throws. And so if they don't have to do any late game substitutions like last year when they would take him out for a possession here and there and put Trevor Booker in, that's not going to happen anymore. If they want Rudy in the game for his defense, they can leave him in there on the offensive ends as well, because they'll know that he can make those free throws.
What does concern me with that is that the more fouls coming along, the more stoppage in play, the harder it is to get into a rhythm.
Well, I mean, everything depends on how the game's going up to that point. But if that's the team's plan, then fine. You know, if you're late in the fourth and their plan is to just keep fouling Rudy, not only is he going to the free throw line, but whoever they wanted to be on their team late in the fourth, someone's having to rack up those fouls. So...
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, I just looked at the numbers tonight. I think midway towards the end of the third quarter, somewhere around there, Jazz were already 25 out of 32. I mean, they'd already shot 30 free throws through three quarters tonight. That's pretty – I mean,
yeah.
Talk about a long game.
It is insane. It was where's the foul number? They've had 35 fouls called on the Jazz, and they've had 36 fouls called on the Suns. Game's not over yet. As I'm watching it, there's still 4 minutes to go.
Wow.
But that's just ridiculous. 71 fouls already.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. So, but yeah, there's some positives to draw on it. I read a, you know, last final thoughts a little bit on preseason here. I read a piece from Tony Jones a little bit. I think it was Tony I read earlier today about some thoughts on Joe Johnson. He mentioned some thoughts how, And this is where I'm going to go with this. Not so much what he mentioned, but Joe Johnson looks like he's still trying to get a feel for the offense. And I think it's interesting how quickly George Hill has acclimated, but it seems like Joe's not quite there yet. And I'm okay with that. Granted, we need him there a little quicker because to start the season, no Gordon Hayward. But I don't know.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty comfortable tonight. I would say tonight was the first time that I would say that, but he'll be fine along with everyone else. Yeah, I would say Hill's already there. I'd say Diaw and Johnson are still trying to get used to it, but I really liked what I saw out of both of them tonight. And maybe that's just because Phoenix played so bad. I mean, they were up something like 46-16.
Yeah, they were.
it was just going to be a bloodbath. And so, I mean, yeah, the second half of this game, we're putting in our 15th, 16th, 17th guys.
And by the way, one of them ejected for an elbow.
Yeah, Henry Sims. I mean, I didn't think they were going to eject him. I thought it was a flagrant one, but, you know, that might be the last we see of Henry Sims.
Right. Well, and here's my next question. That leads off to my next question. Tomorrow, do you expect cuts tomorrow? I think we will see cuts tomorrow.
I would think we see cuts tomorrow. I did find it interesting that Neto and Withy did not play tonight.
Yeah, it was interesting.
He did let the other four guys in that, you know, aren't going to make the team, Sims, Page, Dawson, and Ford. I would guess that he would cut. I feel like I can almost guarantee Sims will be cut, but they'll probably also cut one or two others there. You know, and just from what I've been watching, I can't nothing's really jumping out at me as far as these guys go. So, I mean, they could really cut all four of them and no one would be surprised.
How about your thing? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the one question mark going on here is Chris Johnson. I never thought he was going to make this team, but he has looked good in these games and he still feels like he's part of the team.
Yeah.
But the only way he team is if you know, trade away Mac or don't sign Ballenboy or something like that. I thought they might have changed the rules when you have your injured list. But from everything I can tell, 15 is the max you can have on your roster, injured or no.
Yes.
And so that's the only way Chris Johnson stays is if they don't sign Ballenboy, which I don't think will happen. So
neither
that goes
I.
to the other thing, is that Neto or Mac is traded. And I'm leaning toward that, and I think the Jazz are leaning toward that as far as they want to keep their options open. And so, yeah, I mean, for the first time, I feel like Chris Johnson just might actually be on the team. And I never thought that was going to happen, but
he was lost in all the mix. It was like, wait a minute, where'd Johnson come from? Wow. But no, I'm in agreement with it. And you know, you mentioned Ballenboy. I was going to go back to him. He is impressed. Whenever he's gotten on the court, he has impressed.
Yeah, he looked good. Let's see. He had 10 points. He had a block in there. Yeah, there was like back-to-back blocks with him and Lyles. He was 6 for 6 from the free throw line, which you love out of your big man. You know, 5 rebounds. I mean, he did all the little things, everything you would want out of a bench player just coming in for like 20 minutes in the game. So,
yep.
And you know, I know it's, I mean, it's the Suns, and the Suns are looking like they're just going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year.
Poor Earl Watson.
It's still encouraging.
We love Earl Watson. Yeah. We feel bad, but yeah, unfortunately, his lot in this season's not looking so good.
I figured they'd be bad in theory, but when you're watching it with your own eyes happen, it's just like, oh man.
Well, and then tonight, at a moment, there was a collective sigh from Phoenix Suns fans watching. You could almost hear it when Booker landed on Exum's foot. It was like, no.
Yeah.
All right. So let's transition from preseason. Let's go to a piece that dropped on ESPN today from Zach Lowe. He talked about his predictions for the upcoming season, was very, very praising of the Utah Jazz. In fact, he mentioned them in 3 or 4 different segments of his piece.
Before we cue those up, there's one thing I just have to get off my chest.
What's that?
For 5 years in a row, ESPN did their hashtag NBA rank. And I looked forward to that every year, and I have spreadsheets dedicated to it, and I love looking at the analysis and all these guys did. And this year, they didn't announce anything. They just stopped doing it. And I'm like, where's NBA rank? And they're not answering, but it just never happened. So,
and I asked them, too, and they didn't answer.
For doing that. Yeah. But we've had other things. They have done team-by-team previews, and at least they still employ Zach Lowe. So yeah, he did his crazy predictions. Most of them aren't actually that crazy.
No, not at all.
Yeah, when it comes to the Jazz, the first one, the Jazz, he predicted they'd win 50 games, which I think both of us did as well.
Yep, I had him at 51.
Yeah, so, yeah, good for him seeing what we see.
Well, and oh, and by the way, he also did, he provided a caveat on that too. He said even with Gordon Hayward probably missing the first, I think he said, what, 13 between 13, 20 games or something like that, he still projected the Jazz to win 50 games. That says a lot of what his expectations are for the Jazz season.
Yep. Something else he predicted, which something I had been thinking they were going to do, that the Jazz would extend Derek Favors.
Yep.
The extension can happen starting on October 19th. So we're a week away from when that might happen. I'm inclined to think they'll do it.
Yeah.
He also talked about Rudy. Well, we'll get to that later. But I do think that they will extend Favors. And his next prediction was that Hayward would stay with Utah. I would think unless something catastrophic happens this season that Hayward would re-up here.
Right.
He's going to get the max. This team's finally going to be back in the playoffs. And he's in his prime, and he's surrounded with all the right players. I just think the organization has proven to him that they're doing everything they can to succeed.
Yep, I agree.
And it's set up perfectly, so I think that will happen as well.
Well, and mind you, let's look at it, too. The Jazz currently, as constituted, are $14 million under the salary cap right now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and they're actually $4 million under the NBA's minimum. So, yeah, they're at $80 million. Wow. The NBA's minimum is 84. I just looked at that I looked at ESPN's July piece on it, and they talked about it. So,
well, the Jazz are at 84 right now.
So did I have it backwards?
No. You got to look at all the non-guaranteeds.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
So yes. they're at that with the non-guaranteeds. I go to Basketball Insiders. I think they're the best as far as having their salaries up to date.
Gotcha.
So they will hit that if they just guarantee all the money they've promised for this year.
Right.
They'll hit that. I don't think they will.
Which is still the NBA's minimum. You're still not up to the cap, which is at 94, which they still have flexibility to extend state favors. And technically, if they could work some sort of deal with Hayward before the season, they could extend Favors and Hayward and still be right there at the cap.
Yeah, but if they want to spend money, I mean, they don't need to give $800,000 to Eric Dawson.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
So I don't think this will stand. I think they'll just find a way later in the year to spend that extra money, you know, hire us as trainers for a day or something, give us $100,000 each. I could support something like that.
No, yeah, I agree. I'm just looking at it because next offseason they lose a lot of salary with players, but you gotta believe they're gonna bring all those guys back. Like they're gonna look to try and bring George Hill back. They're gonna try and bring other players that aren't necessarily on the salary at the end of the year, on the books at the end of the year. They're going to try and bring back next year. Oh, and then by the way, Rudy Gobert, as we were going to get to in this piece, Zach Lowe believes that they will make room to bring on Rudy Gobert next season. Which means, I mean, and again, the salary cap does go up again next year just a little bit.
It does. He does think that Rudy will get extended. I'm inclined to think he probably won't, because he'll probably want the max. And the only way he gets extended is if he agrees to take less enough that it's worth it to the Jazz to commit to all of that salary a year sooner than they need to.
Yeah.
So if they can talk him into just taking a straight $20 million a year, then yeah, they'll extend him this year. Otherwise, I think they'll probably wait until he's a restricted free agent.
Yeah, fair.
you know, if his agent, I would think his agent is, would vacillate between that. It's like, well, we can guarantee you a lot of money now, or if we just wait a year, we can get you that much more.
It right.
just depends on what he wants to do.
No, that's fair. Okay, so some interesting points I got a kick out of reading. One of his points, Houston finishes number two in points per possessions.
I understand their logic there. I mean, someone needs to.
and then he follows it up with Houston takes more three-pointers than any team in the NBA history.
Yeah, exactly. That's your 1-2 in logic. Sure.
Pretty much. No, I mean, he makes some interesting points throughout in this piece. I mean, if anybody hasn't had a chance to read Zach Lowe's piece on ESPN, take some time. I tweeted it out, so check it out. But Zach's a guy that he's always got a great read, so it's always good to take some time to. He's one of the good ones at ESPN, so take some time to read this one. It's worth checking into. He believes, you know, another one of note, Kawhi Leonard three-peats at Defensive Player of the Year. That's not far-fetched. He's going to have some other players coming up, sneaking up on him for that nod, including Rudy Gobert. It was funny though. Before when I did this earlier, I did a Control F on the screen to find how many times he mentions Utah. Just for kicks and giggles, when everybody gets a chance and you're reading this piece. See how many times he mentions Utah in this piece, aside from those 4 points. He says them a lot. You know, so it's kind of funny.
Well, I think the Jazz is one of the teams that NBA writers in general are more excited about. When you think of the 30 teams, they're going to have their 5 or 6 teams they gravitate to right away.
Right.
But then after that, who are they looking at? And it's like, well, the Jazz just look like they're going to be that exciting story. It looks like this is the year where it's all going to come together.
Yep.
And, you know, they were a blast to watch the end of 2015 when they were suddenly the number one defensive team in the NBA. All that was great. I would say one can't say they were as fun in general, just because the point guard play was so bad that everything else kind of got lost. I mean, there was a lot of great stuff. There's a lot of great stuff of Rodney Hood, you know, making his name in the NBA, and Hayward's still great. Favors still great. Rudy showing that the year before it wasn't a fluke, but this year, now that they have solid point guard play, everything's going to come together. And I think it's like a top 10 team of intrigue just for all the NBA writers on storylines they're looking for. It's like, this team's finally going to take the step that we thought they were.
Oh, and by the way, I think they'll probably be the best defensive team in the NBA. And that's not my Utah homerism speaking. That's just facts. I just think the Jazz are the best defensive team in the NBA, or they will be. So, or pretty close.
I don't know if I'd go that far yet, but I think they have some lineups that you would say would be the best defensive team in the NBA, but you have to prove it to me that with Joe Johnson on the floor, you can still be the number one defensive team in the NBA, and he's going to get a lot of minutes with Hayward missing the first few weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, to start the season, he will. I think as the season progresses, I think his minutes will diminish a bit. I mean, you've still got other guys that are going to have to earn their way back in, and I still think Alec Burks is one of those guys that will earn his way back in, which may end up seeing Joe Johnson's minutes diminish. But that said, Joe, I don't think has any problem with that either. He's willing to contribute in whatever way the Jazz want him. He recognizes he's 35 years old. He's not the old Joe Johnson.
That's something else out of this preseason, is there have been a lot of guys who have shown they're ready to contribute, and so it is kind of rich. Joe Ingles is still a great playmaker on the floor, and he's looked great in this.
He's got some pep in his step.
Yeah. Lyles looks like he's going to progress exactly how we had hoped.
Yep.
A lot of these guys look good. And so, yeah, you just get excited all over again how deep this team is.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I still hope all the injuries heal.
No, I agree. And I think they will. I almost wonder if Derek Favors is precautionary at this state. Rodney Hood, precautionary. Gordon Hayward, obviously, that's one of those blows that you just, there's not much you can do about it. But mm-hmm. I think the rest of them are willing to take a little precautionary steps here because it is preseason. Let's wait until the last week of October, the first week of the season, and then we'll start throwing guys back in full time, and that's when the real business begins. So, and Quinn has shown that he's pretty good at managing minutes at this point in time. He did it last year.
Yep. So. Game is almost over, but it's tight, and so they're fouling on purpose, and so this is like the longest preseason game in NBA history. It is 9:51 right now.
Yeah, and we're still not to the end of the game.
Still going.
And it started at 7 o'clock. A three-hour NBA game? Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's pretty crazy. All right, no further thoughts on Zach Lowe. Let's move on to our next segment. Devin is not here. Devin is normally our quick hits guy. Tonight, we're putting the reins of quick hits in the hands of our host, Brian. Brian's just over there chuckling, so I don't even, come on, quick takes, quick hits, or do they just suck? Well, John and I are waiting if you have some.
Look at your Twitter.
Oh, he says he's tweeting them at us.
Could they extend Gobert? Yes. They could.
Yes. And the answer is yes. And I think John already answered his thought on that. Will they? He doesn't seem to think so. I do. So we're split decision on that one. Next up.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Phoenix just went up by one in this game.
No. All right. Read
Not
through.
That it matters, but good grief.
Apparently, he's decided to tweet you the quick hits. So read the next one.
I don't really think these count as quick hits.
All right. Quick hits suck tonight. Devin, we want you back.
Let's go to pop culture.
Hold on.
What are those strange weird sounds?
Oh, yeah, we're not answering that. We're not answering the strange word sounds on the podcast. No.
Chicken.
All right. all right. Well, that is the... That's this week's version of Quick Hits. Devin, come back, please. Soon. Next up, pop culture. All right, John, what do you want to talk about this week on pop culture?
I've seen a few movies lately. I saw Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
And what did you think?
I liked it overall. It's a Tim Burton movie. And there's one thing Tim Burton has a problem with. He isn't very good at ending his movies. They get kind of sloppy at the end, and this one is no different. And I would say what subtracted my enjoyment was that fact. I really liked the setup. I enjoyed getting into that world and meeting these people. It is based on some best-selling kids' books. I've never read them, although I'm tempted to go ahead and hunt this book down and read it and see how it compares. But it's about a kid who goes into a time loop. He finds a time loop where there is this house that is stuck on a day in 1943, and there have these different peculiar powers, or, you know, just things about them.
Is this that one where they're going through the house?
Well, they go through a house. And one Sorry. Girl has a mouth on the back of her neck that she eats with, and
yes.
one of them wears lead shoes or she'll float away,
yes.
stuff like that.
I realize they're going through a house. I realize there's more than that, but I'm trying to remember the trailer I saw, and yes, it's starting to come back to me. The name, it's a long name. I'm not familiar with it. I haven't read the books, the stories. I'm not familiar with it, but you mentioned it, and I wasn't sure what it was, but now it's coming back to me. It's all coming back to me.
Yeah, there's some time travel involved, and time travel rarely is handled correctly in movies. The logic usually just falls apart, and this one's no different. At the end, I could not keep track of the logic they were using for the stuff they do with time travel and just kind of gave up trying to understand it.
I'm starting to understand.
But overall it was entertaining. Samuel L. Jackson shows up as the bad guy. He's nice and creepy.
We're just going to title this show. We're just going to title this show from now on. Germs hates time travel in movies.
Well, like Back to the Future did it right, but so many other movies haven't. So
no, I know
because
I know.
All movies are like, well, you could just go back in time and fix the problem. So,
and John's okay. Answer is an emphatic no.
No, it can't be fixed.
All right, so that's a good. You're saying it's a good show, so I definitely want to see it. My kids want to.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. I wouldn't get overhyped for it, but it's worth seeing. Next movie I saw was Birth of a Nation.
Okay.
It was a big hit at Sundance. It's about the Nat Turner Slave Rebellion from 1831.
Okay.
And if people don't know that story, Nat Turner was a slave who encouraged a bunch of other slaves to join him, and they thought they were on this righteous crusade to just overthrow slavery. And they went through the South killing different slave overs over a 48-hour period, and it was eventually quashed, and all the slaves were killed. This movie I thought was going to be about that, and it is about that, but you don't actually get to the rebellion until the last half hour. It's really just kind of a biopic of Nat Turner, and the movie stars Nate Parker, and he is the writer, director, and star of this movie. And you can kind of tell because my analogy would be it's the cross of 12 Years a Slave with Braveheart.
Okay.
And, you know, Braveheart framed itself a lot with Mel Gibson, where he's in the middle of the screen and he's the hero and he's almost the Messiah. And Nate Parker kind of does the same thing with himself. And he hits a lot of the same story beats of Braveheart. If you took the first half hour of Braveheart and stretched that out to an hour and a half, and then the last 2 hours of Braveheart, you squished it all to half an hour. That's about how it's plotted. There's a lot of things the movie does really well, and there's a lot of other elements that are kind of frustrating about it. It brings up a lot of different issues. I never quite got, though, which issues the movie felt was most important. It seemed to just like bring up a bunch of different ways of looking at it without really emphasizing one over the other. To illustrate that, Nat Turner is taught as a child to read, and he's only allowed to read the Bible. And so when he grows up, he's able to be a preacher. And the slaveholders liked using him as a preacher to preach to the slaves that they need to be obedient to their masters, and have him preach from the Bible all the verses where it talks about slaves being obedient. And the more he reads the book, the more it's just clear to him that for every verse where it says slaves, you need to be obedient, there's another verse over here saying you need to rise up against oppression. And he eventually just gets this epiphany that, you know what, I think it's God's will that we overthrow these slave owners. It has a lot of brutality in it. It makes the brutality of slavery very in your face, where, I mean, there's so much where it's like it kind of gets unbearable, but then it's like after you watch all that, you're like, well, of course they're going to rise up and try to kill all of them, because how can you treat people this way, this poorly for this long, and not expect some nasty retaliation? So it's not going to like be best picture. It was a story worth watching. I guess my other problem with it was after I watched it and I went back to read up on Nat Turner, and it took a lot of liberties. And I really wish that if you're going to tell this story, that's another thing. That's another way. It's kind of like Braveheart, where it just sacrifices historical accuracy to hit these really cool emotional beats. So it does that too. But, you know, overall, a very powerful film.
And by the way, before you finish off with your final movie, the Jazz ended up losing 111-110 on their home court tonight after being up by 30 at one point in time. My wife her text to me, what the hell happened to the Jazz? And then she turned around and told me I jinxed them. So it's apparently my fault. All right. Moving on. Last movie.
Also on, I can't remember if it's on Netflix or Amazon, but London Has Fallen is on streaming already. And that came out in the spring, and it's the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen. So I watched that on my iPad during one of my workouts. And it's about what you think it's going to be. If you saw Olympus Has Fallen, this is pretty much the same movie, except the president is in London when terrorists attack, and then he and his Secret Service man, played by Gerard Butler, go on the run, and they have to avoid the terrorists that are running around London. The terrorist plot is really elaborate and so successful that it's just beyond believability. There's no way terrorists are smart enough to infiltrate that deeply and not get caught. I was
going to ask you if that's where you're really... I was expecting you to go there with this. I really was, because there's no way possible that this can be any good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a throwback to like 80s style action flicks where you just want bad guys and you just want your tough guy to kill all the bad guys. But no, I mean, I can't honestly say it's good. It is the type of movie that you would watch while you're on a plane or doing other things and don't really have to think about anything that's happening. There's a lot of good actors in it, and it just kind of illustrates that, you know, a lot of these middle-aged actors don't have anything better to do, so they show up in stuff like this. You know, you got Angela Bassett showing up, you got Robert Forster showing up, you got Melissa Leo showing up, and all these people have been nominated for Academy Awards, and Melissa Leo won an Academy Award, and then Morgan Freeman won an Academy Award. And they don't need to do this, but it's like, it's a paycheck.
You know, you brought up you could watch it on an airplane, and my first thoughts went to, well, that's because I can fall asleep during it.
Yeah, you could fall asleep in the middle and wake up, and you probably wouldn't miss anything. But it's not like painful, you know, it's just it moves along,
right?
And it's fine. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. It's no different than what you think it's going to be,
and therein lies the quote of the night. It's no different than what you think it should be. That's awesome. Quotables from John. Well, I had no desire to see it, and now I really don't have much of a desire to care to watch it, so there you go.
Well, that's for people who see it pop up and wonder if it's worth it. Probably not.
No, probably not.
It's only worth it if that is your movie. So,
yeah, there you go. So, and I can't think of anything I've watched recently to catch up on. I've been keeping up on the current TV shows that have been hitting TV, but I haven't really nothing new for me this week. So. And I haven't... I'm trying to think of the last movie I saw. Oh, Storks. I saw Storks.
Hmm.
Cue crickets. We were all quiet for a minute there.
I've heard it's good, so I do want to see it. Most of the kid movies I'm not seeing in theaters anymore.
Yeah.
Because I have so many kids that it's like... Well, I'd like to just take a couple of you, but you can't really do that.
No, I can understand that. I did take the whole family. My kids loved it. I was okay with it. I wouldn't say I entirely fell in love with it. It was good enough. And then they show the preview. Okay. And then they show the preview of the Troll movie, and I'm not interested in Trolls. So, you know.
Oh, I am so not interested in seeing Trolls. No, I enjoy animated movies. I enjoy going to movies with my kids, but Trolls just does not tempt me.
Nope.
In fact, there's another movie coming out called Sing. Have you seen the preview for that?
Yep.
It's like Zootopia. It's the plot of America's Got Talent or The Voice or something.
In a Zootopia like type of format,
all
yes.
All it is. Yeah. And I kept waiting for the movie to give me that extra hook on why I would want to see it, and it never happened. Animals in a Zootopia-like world want to join the singing contest, and that's it. And it's like, why?
No, I know what the hook was.
Why do you want to tell me this story?
The hook was the pig dancing on the grocery food aisle, right?
Yeah. I mean, That's funny, but it's like, is that really the entire movie? It's just, you're just telling the story of behind the scenes on The Voice, except they're all animals.
Right, right. Or America's Got Talent, because let's be honest, it was more than just singing. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. It's questionable. My kids are all excited. They want to see it. So, hey, why not? So, unless there's anything else, let's go ahead and wrap it up. You got anything else?
No, let's have this be less than an hour long. That'll be.
Hey, that works. Oh, Brian's over here saying minorly less than an hour. So, no. All right, well, let's wrap up this week. Once again, can't express enough, Devin. We missed you. So, Tyler, we want to thank Tyler for coming on the show tonight, talking a little NBA 2K17. We thank you all for joining us and listening this week to another episode of Jedi and Germs. NBA season just around the corner, so watch for us next week as we give our season predictions on things like MVP, best team, coach of the year, and such. That will be next week. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Jedi and Germs, and, of course, blogtalkradio.com/Jedi and Germs. Pop us a question. Get at us in the discussion. We'd love to talk more about it. And we'll look for you again very soon. Once again, thank you for BYU Sports Cave for allowing us to record tonight. On that note, John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.